So our scripture reading for this morning concludes Matthew 25. We've been in this chapter, Matthew 25, for a few weeks now. We are reading verses 31 through 46 today. If you'd like to follow along, it can be found on the beginning of page 29 of the New Testament in the Pew Bible. And as we prepare to hear God's word, let us pray. Sovereign God, let your word rule in our hearts and your spirit govern our lives until at last we see the fulfillment of your realm of justice and peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. Let us listen for the word of God. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. And the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me, naked and you did not give me clothing, sick and in prison and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly, I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Beloved, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So as I mentioned earlier, this is the last Sunday of the church year, a reign of Christ, or sometimes called Christ the King Sunday. And this year, we this final culminating parable. We've been having a lot of parables recently, but it's not quite a parable. This final part of Matthew 25 is more of that of a vision. It's an eschatological vision. That's a big, fancy word, right? Those in our Faithful Conversations book study, we mentioned that word last week. Do you remember? Do you remember that we mentioned it? Eschatology is the theology that's concerned with how we think about the end, the culmination, right? Your eschatology is your theology, your doctrine of last things. This passage at the end of Matthew 25 is an eschatological passage. And so it is a great passage for this last Sunday of the church year, Reign of Christ Sunday, the reminder and culminating proclamation that Jesus is Lord, right? At the end, and at the end, that the end of the story, the end of all stories, is, well, it's the plan, this plan for the fullness of time when all things in heaven and on earth are gathered up in Christ and all things are under his feet, that through him God has reconciled all things to himself. And this often called judgment of the nations passage here gives us a picture of at least some of that. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, Jesus begins, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. Jesus here is echoing Daniel, that Old Testament book, Daniel, chapter 7. I saw one like a Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient One and was presented before him. To him was given dominion and glory and kingship, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away. His kingship is one that shall never be destroyed. And so here, Jesus speaks this about himself right here on the cusp of the very next chapter in Matthew is when the plot to arrest and crucify him really gets into high gear. This is right before all of that, the culminating teaching of Jesus. And Jesus says this about himself: when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And so what we have here is this image of power and glory and all the authority and dominion of heaven and kingship over all things showing up at the end of time, the culmination of time and history itself. Which, by the way, in all the Gospels, of all the places in the Gospels, this here is really the fullest, and in that way the only real description of what we might think of as the, quote, last judgment. Other places in the Gospels talk about it happening, but it's really only ever described here. And this is perhaps not too much of an unfamiliar passage to many of us, or at least some of the phrases here are familiar, right? The King, reign of Christ, right? The Son of Man is now also identified as the King. The King shows up and says to some, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. I was hungry and you gave me food, thirsty and you gave me drink, a stranger and you welcomed me, naked and you clothed me, sick and you cared for me, in prison and you visited me. And then there's a parallel situation also going on here at kind of the same time too, right? The King also says to others, you that are accursed, depart from me, for I was hungry and you gave me no food, thirsty and you gave me no drink, a stranger and you did not welcome me, naked and you gave me no clothing, sick and in prison and you didn't visit me. And they all, the nations gathered there, blessed and cursed alike, they are surprised because this is the King, remember? The one in all the splendor, power, glory, authority, dominion of heaven itself. So the blessed and accursed alike say, wait, hang on a second. When were you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, right? You, with all the power and glory of heaven, when were you there? And what does the King say? Just as you did it or didn't do it to one of the least of these, my family, my siblings, you did it, or you failed to do it, to me. So this past week, I had been preparing this week's sermon. And I also this week had the opportunity to join in a webinar by the Rhode Island Food Bank, one of the organizations in Rhode Island that we support. They presented their 2023 status report on hunger in Rhode Island. And they talked about this report, and including important ways as they kind of looked at some of the issues and some important ways the food bank has concluded would help address hunger in our state, the state of Rhode Island. You can find this report on the food bank's website. I also posted a copy on the bulletin board down by the office. I thought it's worth us looking at. Again, this is an organization we support and do a lot of do work for as well. And so what ended up happening is this week, of all weeks, right? It was also Thanksgiving, and I was preparing myself to eat a very big meal on Thursday, and then a lot of leftovers as we've gone on, right? Of this week of all weeks, I found myself in this position. As I reflecting and meditating and, for lack of a better word, chewing on verses such as Jesus saying, "For I was hungry and you fed me, and also at the same time I was hungry and you didn't feed me. For just as you did it or did not do it to one of the least of these, you did it or did not do it to me." I was also hearing this report that 29% of all households in Rhode Island are food insecure. And 38% of households with at least one child under 18 are food insecure. And also, I had been reflecting on and meditating and chewing on verses such as Jesus also saying, both, "For I was a stranger and you welcomed me," and also, "For I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. For just as you did it or did not do it to the least of these, you did it or did not do it to me." I was also then hearing that this report further breaks down quite starkly, that it's only 23% of white households are food insecure, but 48% of black households, 51% of Latino households, and 48% of the remaining non-white racial and ethnic demographic households are food insecure. That something is still going on in and about our life together that keeps us as strangers from one another, even in how we experience or are subjected to systems or patterns of poverty and wealth. You know, we've been framing these sections of Matthew 25 these past two previous weeks and this week around stewardship. The first parable of this chapter was stewardship of time. And last week with the second parable, Jordan invited us to consider our stewardship of our resources, right? Whether financial or our particular gifts or talents, whatever it might be that we've been given. And so originally when I was these weeks, I had a passage of how we steward our service, right? But I came to see that there is something else, something deeper at work here, something that God even has been saying and calling people not just to, but calling people into all along. That Ezekiel passage as our call to confession, for example, and it's indicative of something the prophets as a whole had been saying again and again and again and again. That ancient nation of Israel was called and formed, liberated, saved, and rescued to be a particular community whose community life proclaimed God's intentions, proclaimed the Lord as God in all sorts of ways, but not least was the way that they lived in community as the people of God, the nation of Israel. And so the judgment that would be proclaimed over and over and over again by the prophets was not just about, as we might phrase it, the spiritual health of the nation, but also that the spiritual health of the nation was also directly tied to physical and emotional well-being of the most vulnerable, the most marginalized in their community. And so I think way more than just stewarding or doing particular acts of service, we might see this passage calling us to, which is great. Those acts are great as far as they go. But this image here in Matthew 25, it is more than just, did you check off enough boxes of charity this week? Which again, those are good, necessary things in this world, but even more than that, deeper than that, what this passage is really about, that when all is said and done, we have been called to be stewards of others. Of one another. Others that we find ourselves connected to. Stewards of not just our lives, but of our life together. The kingdom of heaven is not just an atomized collection of individuals who, you know, on balance, each happen to be lucky enough to have done more good stuff than bad. Right? It's easy to miss, or maybe not miss exactly, but it's easy to gloss over. Did you notice who or what is gathered before the king? Anyone remember? It's the nations. That is a corporate, that is a community word. That is a word about our organizing and navigating and negotiating of power and resources and the structures of our community, all those things of life together. Gathered by and before the king is not just a bunch of individuals. It's not all the individuals of the earth. It's all the nations of the earth. It's the communities of the earth, right? The word there is this word ethnoi in Greek. It's a word that also meant Gentiles, those outside the covenant community of faith. It's not the judgment of individual people or even the judgment of the church or particular covenant or faith communities. It's the judgment of the nations. Ezekiel, certainly, we've seen, but other prophets too, for example, they judged the nations, not Israel, but the nations outside of Israel. And it wasn't actually for things like failing to worship the Lord. But over and over again, it's for how the least were being treated within and by that particular outside nation. And so the image we are given here of the end, right? And that word end, not as in everything stops, but end as in pointing to ultimate purpose. And this image is of how some have or have not stewarded their life together. That we are called to be the kingdom of heaven, the reign of Christ, is that place where love of God and love of neighbor are so intertwined that we are stewards of our communities, of our corporate life, of the way we do, the way we engage, the way we inhabit life together. And it seems the overarching theme, the barometer of this, the diagnostic of this, is how do the ways that we do that, the ways we live in community together, affect the most vulnerable? The nations are judged in Scripture, not by how powerful or how rich or prosperous or even if there's prayer in school or not or how it does or doesn't recognize Christmas, but simply we, not just in the church, but we, in and as even our wider communities are judged by how the ways we order that life, that corporate, that communal life and life together, and how that affects the ones that are the most vulnerable, who find themselves most on the margins among us. That's part of what's behind our denomination's Matthew 25 initiative, right? As communities of faith, our calling is no doubt even deeper than that, but it's certainly not less than this. And following the prophets and certainly the words of Jesus here, a call, a reminder, and an invitation into who we are meant to be, stewards of one another. Stewards of our communities. And what this might mean, even be calling us to, when again, for example, 29% of households in Rhode Island are food insecure, they're hungry. But while this affects only 23% of white households, it affects about 49% of non-white households. How are we stewarding our life together? What sort of kingdom does the ways that we do this proclaim? Now, I think Jesus is talking about even more than just, right, these literal judgments about hunger and thirst, strangers and not having clothes and physically sick or in prison, but he is certainly not talking about less. Next week, we begin the season of Advent. There's some signs of that popping up over here. Christmas right around the corner. The celebration, the proclamation of the birth of Christ, the incarnation, the very profound news that the Word who was in the beginning and who was with God and who was and is God, and the news that very Word has become flesh and dwelt among us. And what is clear here and throughout the Gospels is that what it means for the Word who is God and who has become flesh to dwell with us, to be Emmanuel, God with us. That this King with all authority, power, dominion, splendor, and glory has chosen to cast his lot. Not with the high and mighty. Not first and foremost with the well-to-do and well-connected and the ones that are doing okay, thank you very much. But first and foremost with the least of all these. For Jesus to truly be God with us, it must mean all of us. And for us who are called the body of Christ, how are we to be with the world? And in this, we are called, we are invited to be, in the words of 1 Peter, stewards of this manifold, of this multifaceted grace of God. Because this, friends, this is who Jesus is. We are nourished and fed, and all that we thirst for is quenched by Jesus, by his grace. We are the strangers and the prodigals, and he is the one that welcomes us into the kingdom, the banquet, the family of God with outstretched arms. We are laid bare before him, and he clothes us in his righteousness. We are in need of healing, and he has come to heal. We are caught up in and in bondage to sin, right? Both that of our own making and at the mercy of that of others. He has come to dwell with us that we might be set free. But it's not just that this is who Jesus is for you, though he is. Or even for us in the church, though he is. But even all of this is for the sake of the world, which includes all those that we might be inclined to think otherwise or not think at all about. This image of Christ the King on the throne of his glory and what it is like. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, in feeding and nourishing and quenching the hunger and thirst of others, whether hungry and thirsty for bread and water or for righteousness and justice, or even the way those are often intertwined. By welcoming the stranger, whether stranger by custom or place of origin, race or ethnicity, or strangers, as Paul put it in his letter to the Ephesians, we and all who were alien and strangers to the covenant of promise, strangers to the household of God. By clothing the naked, whether those in need of physical clothing and the like, or those whose fears and doubts, struggles or sins, shame and hurts are laid bare. Right? And even the shame of needing help. Right, do the ways we go about these things further stigmatize and shame and unclothe, or are we also clothing, bringing dignity worthy of image of God bearers at the same time? By working to be agents of healing and to make sure healing is available to all, whether in mind, body, and soul, and visiting, remembering and not ignoring those in a prison of one kind or another, whether by sin, systems or circumstance, working for justice that is always generous, good, true, and restorative, stewards of the manifold grace of God. We see in this final judgment, and in Scripture, judgment is never about just saying bad punishment. It is always in service to justice and healing. And the ends for which we are made. And here in this vision and proclamation of the final judgment of the nations, a picture of the kind of life abundant, that we are made for. Relationship and community, love of God and love of neighbor. Again, so bound with one another that you don't know where one ends and the other begins. There's one more image we get of the reign of Christ, and it's at the, well, there's many images, but one main one we get, and it's at the end of the Bible, in the penultimate chapter of Revelation, and it's not that, again, of individuals whisked away into some ethereal, even, quote, heavenly existence, but rather it is heaven itself coming down. And I saw, John writes in Revelation, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, see, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples. God himself will be with them. The culminating image of Scripture is a city, this image of community and life lived together, life lived with, life fully reconciled to God and to one another, coming down from heaven itself for the flourishing, the shalom of all the nations, it says, who are walking by the light of the glory of God. That is the kingdom. That, friends, is the reign of Jesus. That is what we steward in ways big and small, as we even here and even now in our communities steward our life together. We are proclaiming something, that Jesus reigns, that Jesus is Lord. Stewards of the manifold grace of God indeed. Beloved, may it be so of us, that it may be so of this world. Amen. I invite you now to stand in body or in spirit as we sing our next hymn, which can be found in the insert in your bulletin, Jesus, Be With Us.